Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back with you guys for another half an hour here as we talk all things Phillies. It's football season, but we've still got Phils to talk about. I know that it feels like the Phillies season has ended 3 months ago, believe it or not. Still hasn't even been a month since the Philly season has officially been ended. But it's felt like that the last 2 years where you don't make it out of the NLDS and you look back on it and you think, wow, it's been a really long time since the Phils have played. Not so much. It still hasn't even been a month since the Phils were officially eliminated in Los Angeles in that game 4 against the Dodgers. The Dodgers now, by the way, up 2-1 in the World Series. It was an instant classic last night. If you didn't watch, and I understand a lot of you probably didn't watch because you're sort of like me, where you're a little, I don't want to say jaded, but baseball's a little bit of PTSD right now. You're probably focused on the Eagles and football, and rightfully so, 6-2, right? A lot of good things to look forward to with the football team, but there is still some fun baseball going on. I do like to watch the MLB playoffs mostly every year. I have to give it a little bit of time after the Phils are eliminated. Last year I didn't give it as much time because I wanted to see the Mets get eliminated really bad. So watching them lose to the Dodgers was good. But this year, gave it a little bit of time. Did not really watch the Dodgers and Brewers series. Watched a little bit of the Astros, the Mariners and Blue Jays. And then obviously with the World Series, I have tuned into that and seen some, like I said, instant classic last night as that game went to 18 innings. No runs from innings 10 through 17, but in the 18th inning, we finally got to see a run scored on a Freddie Freeman walk-off home run, the second time in as many World Series for Freddie Freeman that he has hit a walk-off home run for the Dodgers. Not a grand slam this time, but still a walk-off. So, look, we'll touch on the World Series a little bit towards the end of this because I do want to just kind of give a recap of what's going on and talk about how the Dodgers just seem like they're inevitable. And they are the team to beat, and the Phils likely going to lose to the team that goes on and ends up winning it all. So, anywho, we'll move on from that from right now. We'll move back to the Phillies. If you haven't been paying attention in Phillies land, we talked a couple of weeks ago about Dave Dombrowski's comments. He essentially challenged Bryce Harper and said that he wasn't sure if he could ever be elite again. He's going to be 33 by the time the 2026 season rolls around. So there are definitely some questions in Dombrowski's mind of whether or not Harper is still the player that he had been for the past couple of seasons. Scott Boras then came out and basically said, first off, after Dombrowski says that, of course, the trade speculation rolls around. Are they looking to move him? Do they believe in him? Didn't have a great year. Seemed like Harper was mopey all season long. Like, is there a potential that Bryce Harper gets shipped somewhere else? And the logical answer to that is no. Bryce Harper has 6 years remaining on his deal. Bryce Harper is going to be a Philly until his very last game played in Major League Baseball. I think we can all agree that that's more likely than not going to be the case. But of course, when you throw that out there and you know, you throw the bobber out into the lake, it's going to get bit and a fish is going to bite it. Just like we're going to bite on what Dombrowski's saying and we're going to take it and we're going to try and run with it. And we're going to think of why he's saying this type of thing, what this means for the Phillies franchise. Are they looking to move off Bryce Harper? Spoiler, the answer is no. They're not doing anything like that. But Scott Boras comes out and talks about Bryce Harper's 2025 season and says that, you know, they don't think that there's anywhere he wants to play other than Philly, that he's going to be here forever, and the Phillies love him, whatever. Dombrowski goes on the Foul Territory podcast and says, you know, maybe my words were taken a little bit out of context. We love Bryce. And look, maybe this maybe this was, I don't think John Middleton is telling Dave Dombrowski how to do anything. I don't think Dave Dombrowski is an idiot. He has been a general manager in baseball for 30 years. You know, he's not getting some directive from ownership on, hey, you got to go out there and do this. You know, you got to damage control what you did. I would find that hard to believe. But he went on the Foul Territory podcast with Eric Kratz and those guys and said, look, we love Bryce. We're not looking to trade Bryce anywhere. Of course not. I just said that he didn't have the season that the MVP caliber season that he can have. But there is no trouble in Bryce Harper land, yada, yada, yada. All good. He silences, you know, I don't want to say the critics, but silences the discussion and the noise that had been going on throughout the building. That's that, right? Over after that. And then Bryce Harper comes out and talks to The Athletic and talks to Matt Gelb and says that he was hurt by the comments by Dave Dombrowski. You know, all he's done since he's been here is love the city of Philadelphia. He wants to be here. He loves the fans. He loves the city itself. He's done everything in his power to make sure that that message gets across. And so to hear trade rumors, felt like he was backstabbed a little bit, didn't understand where it was coming from, but he's going to work as hard as he can this offseason, and he's going to come back and try and have the best season he's ever had in 2026. So Bryce kind of fires back a little bit. I don't know that, you know, Dombrowski never mentioned anything about trade talks, right? Dombrowski never said, we're trying to trade Bryce Harper. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. He just challenged Bryce. That's all Dombrowski did. Now, the media took it and ran with it. The media, like I said, you throw the line out there, it's going to be hook, line, and sinker. We're going to take it and we're going to go with it. And so then that's where the speculation gets brought up. Maybe that's what Harper saw on, I don't know, social media, or maybe he heard it on the radio. I don't know where Bryce Harper got the trade implication from, because it was not from Dombrowski. He never said anything like that. Only challenged Bryce Harper and said he wasn't sure if he could continue to be a lead or not. So Harper comes out and says that. Things get a little murky, things get a little bit confusing, but that's where we're at right now with the whole Bryce Harper saga. So if you were living under a rock for the last week and a half or so, now you can definitively know exactly what's going on. Don't worry about Bryce. I'll leave it at that. He's going to be a Philly. You don't have to worry about anything like that. I think he'll come back and have a great season in 2026, but that is where we are. All right, let's move on. Ruben Amaro had a very interesting outlook for what he wants the Phillies to do in 2026, and I want to go through some of the things that he talked about, what he thinks that this team needs to continue to keep this competitive window open. If you remember when Dave Dombrowski was hired by John Middleton, Middleton said to him then, I want to win now and I want to win later. I don't want to have 2012 through 2018 again, where we're winning 65 games and, you know, we miss our shot at winning a World Series from 2009 to 2011 and everything crumbles after that. Learning from the mistakes a little bit. I want to be a consistent contender. And I have always said throughout my entire fandom of being a fan, look, obviously winning the World Series is the number one thing. We all want to see a World Series brought back to Philadelphia. That is without question. There is, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. We all want the Phillies to win a World Series. I am persona non grata on that. I want them to do it, right? I don't know if that word that I just used there makes a whole lot of sense. We'll see. But I want them to win a World Series, but I've always said I just want them to be a consistent contender. I just want the Phillies to consistently get yourself in the postseason, because you will win one eventually if you just keep giving yourself shots at it. If you keep giving yourself a bite at the apple, eventually you're going to break through and you're going to win it all. That's the way I feel about it. And the best way to do that is continue to have a competitive window, continue to have a good roster, and continue to give yourself a shot and not let guys go, not go back to 70 wins, not go back to 75 wins, whatever. I know that so many of us are calling for change. And 2 weeks ago, after they were officially eliminated, I kind of felt the same way and was like, I would like some change as well. You know, whether it's the manager, whether it's bringing in somebody else for protection of Bryce Harper, whatever the case may be, I was in the same boat of wanting some sort of change. Now, the manager's not going to be changed. We already know that. Rob Thompson's back for 2026. I don't know what's going to happen with the lineup. I don't know what they're going to do. We'll talk about some of the stuff that maybe they should do in order to bolster this lineup. But regardless, you know, not positive on exactly what is going to happen. But they have to do something to continue to give themselves shots at it. You cannot go back to the days of winning 73 games. Cannot happen. So you got to keep retooling, rebuilding, whatever the case is, to give yourself an opportunity to win in 2026. And Ruben Amaro talked about this, and one of the main things he said was bolstering the bullpen and lineup protection. Now, obviously, I think those two things on at face value make a whole lot of sense. I think it's easier said than done, especially when it comes to the bullpen. So Ruben Amaro said the Phillies cannot keep running it back as it pertains to the bullpen. You can't run back the same lineup that they've had. The lineup has not gotten it done. And he said the same thing about the bullpen. He said, I'd like to see the bullpen get a little bit more shored up. We'll see if Orion Kirkering will bounce back. We'll see how Matt Strom will continue to pitch. You're not sure whether or not Alvarado will be back, but I personally would pick up the option on him just because I think you need more arm depth. Arm depth is absolutely a big thing in this. Now, you know, I mean, they're throwing like Max Lazar out there, Tim Mesa, Lou Trevino. You know, the bullpen had a dearth of options at the very end of the season there. It was getting a little bit dicey, right? And the bullpen did end up costing them a little bit in the playoffs. And the one reason why I can't fault those guys is you look at the bullpen from a couple, you know, 2024, it was one of the best bullpens that they've ever had. And it ultimately did not matter in that Mets series, right? Ultimately, you got to that point. You got to a situation where, you know, you felt great about the bullpen. You felt great about your team going into the 2024 playoffs. And Jeff Hoffman and the rest of the bullpen, Matt Strom, Orion Kirkering, all those guys, don't get the job done. You know, they had done it for 162 games, but when the pressure and the lights got the brightest, they were unable to get the job done there. So I don't want to say take it with a grain of salt as it pertains to the bullpen, but I would say you just never know what you're getting. You just never know. You know, you might feel really, really good about the guys that you have. And when push comes to shove in the playoffs, you don't know what's going to happen. That's where the starters going into the bullpen has a factor. You know, you look at the Dodgers this year and their bullpen was one of the worst that they've ever had. And they went out and they bolstered it. They brought in Tanner Scott and a couple of other guys. You know, Blake Treinen is still there, right? They have a lot of options for guys that they brought in the bullpen, and it ultimately didn't matter. Ultimately, it was let's move Roky Sasaki to the pen. Let's move Tyler Glass now to pitching out of the pen as he did in game one against the Phils. So, you know, they've figured out ways to kind of work around that. But obviously for 162, you do need a good bullpen in order to get to the promised land. So bolstering the bullpen, obviously big. Amaro goes on to say that lineup protection is very big as well. He pointed to Bryce Harper's lack of production. He said, I think that this is a pretty key element. You got to pitch to guys like Bryce Harper. You want to have as much as possible as you can for your big boys. Talking about having lineup protection, talking about getting the guys that are, you know, Trey Turner, potentially Kyle Schwarber if he's back, Bryce Harper, whoever's the other big guys in this lineup, they need to be getting pitched to. They cannot be pitched around. You cannot look at their lineup in the postseason and say, okay, hitters 2, 3, and 4, we're just going to try our best to make sure that those guys don't get as many hittable pitches, and we'll get around them that way. It's basically what the Diamondbacks did in 23. It's what the Mets did in 24. And to a similar extent, it's what the Dodgers did in 25 of just trying to avoid those kinds of guys and not let them be the big ones that beat you. You know, the Atlanta Braves were never able to do that. Bryce Harper killed the Atlanta Braves in the playoffs, but other teams have figured out a way to not let that happen. So having Bryce Harper getting as many pitches to hit as possible, obviously key going forward in the postseason as long as they continue to get there. And one of the things that shocked me in the 2025 season, well, you know, the season that just ended, was, and I know that Schwarber had an amazing season and he was one of the you know, had one of the best seasons in Phillies history at the plate. I was very shocked that they completely moved off of the having Schwarber bat behind Bryce Harper. Because if you remember, if you go back to the beginning of the season, that was the original plan. And I know things change, right? It's not always going to stay the same. So I understand having a change of heart to a degree. But they never moved Kyle Schwarber back to behind Bryce Harper after like May of this season. I mean, it was just a continuous Schwarber is going to bat, Harper is going to bat behind Schwarber, and that's that. And Schwarber thrived, right? He had a phenomenal season. Bryce Harper did not have as good of a season. Bryce Harper's got Alec Bohm batting behind him. Bryce Harper's got, in some instances, JT batting behind him, right? The difference between those guys hitting behind Bryce and Bryce hitting behind Schwarber was stark, was a very, very big drop-off. They need to bolster this lineup in some way, shape, or form. I don't know whether that's going out and signing Kyle Tucker. I don't think that that's as likely because Kyle Tucker is a left-handed hitter. I don't know that they want another left-handed hitter in this lineup. I know he's a great player. Thompson does not want to have three lefties in a row, and you'd have that if you had Schwarber, Tucker, and Harper. Now you could do Schwarber leadoff, Trey 2, Harper 3, Tucker 4. You know, you could have three lefties in the first four if you break it up that way, but I don't know that they want to have Schwarber back in the leadoff spot, right? So many questions that need to be answered. Whether that's bringing in a guy like Alex Bregman, you know, Bregman already on the wrong side of 30, looking for a new deal. Who knows how long he wants this deal to be? He's a proven winner. He's won two World Series with the Astros. He was on the Red Sox this year, who hadn't made the playoffs in 4 years and really weren't thought to be that good this season. And they go on and make the playoffs. I know Bregman was injured for a little bit of this season as well, but a very good glove at third base. And, you know, maybe you can move him a little bit when he gets more towards the end of his career to second base or wherever. To kind of hide him a little bit on defense. But I think he's a guy that would also be very intriguing to this Phillies club. Now, the question is, how much do you want to keep putting the old guys or older guys in this lineup and bringing them in before you have to do a youth movement, right? Before you have to go and you have to have an influx of younger players to get this team where it needs to be? Because do you want to bank on another 33-year-old to come in and have a career year? How smart is that? And if it's a guy like Bregman, you're going to be spending a lot of money and you're going to be giving him more than just 1 or 2 years. He just signed a 1-year deal with Boston and opted out, right? So you're going to have a lot on your plate in a couple of seasons of older guys getting paid a lot of money. So as interesting as Bregman is, I don't know that he's the number one guy that the Phillies are looking at. I think he would, especially if you move on from Alec Boehm, I think he would be a very good replacement. I think it would be a big upgrade, but just for how long would it be an upgrade is the question. Now, as far as, and this is still Ruben Amaro we're talking about here, you know, he says as far as the youth infusion on the roster, what it means for them, how can they impact him? He said, I would be very surprised if two of those three guys were not on the ball club, referencing Justin Crawford, Aiden Miller, and Andrew Painter. I would think that Crawford would get the opportunity to be either the left fielder or the center fielder. He said, you're looking at somebody to play center field for you that can not only impact you defensively, but also impact you a little bit bat-wise. He said, is it possible that a guy like Harrison Bader comes back? Yes, maybe someone like that to give you some quality in center field. Obviously, Bader was traded to the Phillies at the trade deadline, and while with the Phillies, he hit .277 with 17 homers and 54 RBIs. I'm sorry, that was his that was his season totals. With the Phils, he hit .305, .361, .463 with 17 extra base hits in 50 games. Can you imagine that? If he got traded to the Phillies and he had 54 RBIs and 17 home runs, that would have been insane. You know, as far as the younger guys go, I don't know how much you can bank on these guys, right? Like an Aiden Miller and an Andrew Painter, you really don't know what's going to happen with them. Crawford feels like he's the most sure thing. He was lighting it up in AAA. And had a phenomenal season. He can steal a lot of bases. The issue with him is he doesn't have a whole lot of pop. I don't know how much the Phils love his swing. And right now, defensively, he supposedly is not ready to become a center fielder in the big leagues. So, you know, you can plug him in at left field. Obviously, corner outfields, you like to have more of a power option there. They're not sure that they would have that in Justin Crawford, but you would get a guy who's very solid out there, and you would get a guy who can steal a lot of bases and can do a lot of different things for you offensively. So that's where they stand with the youth movement. So a lot of questions the Phils need to have answered when it comes to 2026. A lot of things that it'll be interesting to see what Dombrowski does. I mean, it's truly an offseason now where it feels like you don't know what's going to happen. Whether they, you know, I would be shocked if they don't bring Schwarber back, but that to me feels like the most surefire thing. Right, I could see them moving on from Alec Boehm and trying to find a trade partner for him. I could see them moving on from Bryson Stott. Brandon Marsh, another one. I mean, Castellanos feels like a foregone conclusion that he's going to be gone. I believe they bring Harrison Bader back. I really do. I think he will be a Philly for a couple of more seasons after this. I think you're more likely to roll with an outfield of Marsh in right, Bader in center, and Crawford in left. That's just the sense that I get. Certainly a lot can change. There's no doubt about that. But that is the feeling that I get as it pertains to what's going to happen in a year or so. But, you know, as real quick, we'll touch on Schwarber before I want to just hit the World Series before we get out of here. I don't see a world where Kyle Schwarber's not a Philly anymore. And the reason I tell you that is because John Middleton loves Kyle Schwarber. And, you know, Steve Cohen might make him a huge offer. You know, the Mets might give him something crazy to have him come and be their DH. I don't see a world where Dave Dombrowski does not offer Kyle Schwarber more money than whatever he gets from anybody else. And I say that again because of the love John Middleton has for him. He appreciates him. He loves what he's done for the team. He loves the leader that he is, the guy in the clubhouse, kind of like the adult in the room that Schwarber is. I think Middleton looks at that and says, look, man, whatever anybody else tries to give you, if Steve Cohen wants to give you $20 million a year, I'll give you $20 million a year. You know, I'll match whatever offer and better, whatever offer they give you, I'll match it by a dollar, basically, to stay here, stay in Philadelphia, continue to have this be your home, and whatever team offers you a new contract, we're going to best it. That's the way that I look at it. Middleton, it has shown he'll put his money where his mouth is. He will spend whatever kind of money he needs to in order to get this team a World Series. It hasn't worked so far, but he's clearly not slowing down anytime soon, and that's what he is going to continue to do. And I think he will give Kyle Schwarber whatever money Kyle Schwarber wants in order to get him to remain a Philly. So that's the way that I look at that. I think he will be back. I know he's their biggest free agent guy, but I don't see a world where, you know, 2026 comes around and he's not a Philly. All right, let's touch on the World Series before we get out of here. Man, did you miss a classic last night. If you did not watch, and I'll full disclosure, I couldn't watch the entire game. It went till about 2 a.m. or so. It's about a 6-hour game. Shohei Ohtani reached base 9 times in the game. Shohei Ohtani did not make an out. He was 4 for 4, 2 home runs, 2 doubles, 3 RBIs, 3 runs scored, 4 intentional walks, 5 total walks. We are watching the greatest baseball player to ever live. And the Phils held him in check. The Phils held him to like 1 for 19 in that series. You know, the Phils held him in check, but we are watching one of the greatest players to ever play this sport of baseball. Probably the greatest to ever play the game of baseball. And I know that it's frustrating the Dodgers beat the Phils, and believe me, I'm not okay with that. But watching a guy like Shohei on the big stage is truly mind-boggling, the things that he can do. Game 4, you know, against Milwaukee, he goes 6 shutout innings and 10 strikeouts and hits 4 home runs or 3 home runs, whatever it was. It's ridiculous. 3 home runs he hit. It's insane how good of a baseball player this guy is. He can pump 100 with nasty wipeout breaking stuff and also hit you 3 home runs in a game. Like I can't even be frustrated. Like, I don't hate Ohtani, right? I just can't hate the guy. When the Phillies play him, sure, I'm hoping he gets out and I'm, you know, cursing him, saying he's, you know, whatever. But from a neutral perspective and just watching the sport of baseball, Shohei Ohtani is on a level that we have never seen and will never see another player be at again. It was last night was the second time, I believe, that a World Series game went 18 innings. The last time was 2017 or 2018 when the Dodgers and the Red Sox, I believe, went to 18. It might have actually been 2017. I saw a statistic on this. It might have been 2017 Astros-Dodgers where a World Series game went 18 innings. But just insane that that happened again last night. I mean, so it was 5-5 after the ninth inning, and then no runs in the 10th, none in the 11th, none in the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, no runs. And then finally, a Freddie Freeman walk-off home run in the bottom half of the 18th inning. In the 14th inning, Will Smith thought he had hit a walk-off home run. He did a little pimp job on a fly ball to the warning track that almost got out. And in the 10th inning, Teoscar Hernandez made a great relay to the cutoff man into home plate to throw out a runner at home plate in that game to ensure that it would still be tied when they came to bat in the bottom of the 10th inning. George Springer was lifted from this game and will undergo an MRI. He left game 3 due to right side discomfort, so not exactly sure what the diagnosis will be on George Springer or what's going to happen there. But the Blue Jays losing him, not a good sign for them. I said it when the Dodgers got there and the Mariners and the Blue Jays were playing each other in the ALCS. I said, whatever team gets there, they're just going to lose to the Dodgers. Right. I mean, they're happy to be there. Mariners would have been ecstatic to be there. Blue Jays certainly ecstatic to be there. You're running into a buzzsaw with the Dodgers, man. You were just running into the best team in baseball, and they are playing like it. You know, they lose game one 11-4, and they just bounce right back and win game two. And even though the Blue Jays were putting up a little bit of a fight last night, Dodgers are just able to take it and able to overpower you and power their way to a victory. All right, that will do it for me on this edition of Phillies Today. A lot of questions Dombrowski has to get into as the offseason rolls around. We'll talk about all those things as soon as we can. Next week might do a little bit of a fun episode. Stay tuned for that. Might just kind of go do a trip down memory lane, kind of highlight some big Phil's moments. Stay tuned for that. We'll talk next Tuesday morning on that. Until then, like I said, Birds 6-2. You got a great World Series going on. So even though there's no Phil's baseball to be played, there's still a lot to look forward to and still a lot to enjoy to watch as it pertains to sports. And by the way, Sixers off to a very good start as well this season. I don't know that a lot of people saw that coming, but they're playing some good basketball right now as well. So a lot to look forward to in Philly sports land. Phils will be back before we know it. Don't you worry. And I'll be back talking to you guys again next week for another edition of Phillies Today. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.